Welcome to Ladies Who Launch, not your average business podcast. Dropping every other Wednesday, Alyssa and Dakota are two successful and opinionated marketing entrepreneurs engaging in insightful conversations with industry thought leaders, as well as casual conversations surrounding our lives as entrepreneurs.
Welcome back to another episode of Ladies Who Launch on a Monday morning. And so I can't guarantee that Dakota and I are fully topped up this morning because Mondays are always a bit of a struggle bus for everyone, I think. But yeah, glad to be back. Dakota's back in her kitchen. Is that the kitchen? No, it's your dining room. Because I think last time we were somewhere else. And I don't know, last time I recorded just seems like a haze. And so it's weird how we see each other like every other week. And it's still like, what do you guys, what are we doing? What's happening? Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm in the kitchen.
It is the kitchen.
in one of my rooms, my haunted house. Yeah. Monday.
I know.
I'm excited for today. I have the whole day available to me to get caught up, which has not been the norm for the last like month and a half. It's been like meetings every day. It's been a lot, but I have been enjoying work and we've had a lot of really great wins in the last couple of months, like big milestones for the agency. But at the same time, and this is the exact topic Alyssa and I want to talk about, I am definitely falling back into a bit of burnout and I need to figure out a way to put myself first and take my power back here. But I feel like we've had some, we knew that there was going to be some busier periods, so we were prepared. But then of course there's other things that creep up and you end up overextending yourself and becoming the hero for your clients at the expense of your energy. So so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, right, Alyssa?
Yeah. I mean, to anyone who's listened to this podcast for a while, like this is definitely something that comes up regularly. And, but I always find it interesting. I always find it fascinating to hear people's stories about this. I think I'm just like old and crotchety because I just do not let clients run my life. But I always find it interesting and fascinating to hear other people's businesses and how they go over and above what it is that they're contracted to do for their clients under the guise of wanting to provide great service and all of that awesome stuff. But ultimately, very rarely is there a reciprocated effort. It's very rare that a client will go over and above to ensure that their consultant is well compensated or being compensated outside the scope for which their original contract was agreed upon. So yeah, it is interesting to hear because we all struggle with it in various different ways. I mean, mine's more of a imposter syndrome than sort of letting people sort of dictate my schedule. But there has been something that's happened recently that I'll talk about that's sort of fallen into that, that's really sort of pet peeving me a little bit. But I'll let Dakota start about, because it's her, the hero complex, and I'm going to say that like in the nicest way, is very much Dakota, because she does like to go above and beyond to help everyone and to be the person. And like, that is her personality. And that's great as a personality. I think more people need to be like that. But when it comes to running a business, it can be problematic in the fact that your helping personality gets taken advantage of a little bit, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I do want to preface this by saying that we knew these periods of time would be busier. And I think there is a difference between that scope creep happening consistently, which I've experienced many times, as a lot of you know who've been listening to this podcast. And the need to kind of buckle down and get through a busier period. And obviously you prepare for that as a team, or within yourself, if you're a one woman or man team. So I would say, yeah, we were definitely compensated for sure for the extra pieces that came with another project that we were doing with them. But what's come out of the situation, which is really interesting, is, and I'm not surprised at this at all because it's been an ongoing conversation, looking towards the future and thinking, okay, so we have day-to-day operations that need to be taken care of. And then we have other big pieces that need to be looked after that in and of themselves are almost a part-time job. So big campaigns that need to bring in money, supporting campaigns that are bringing in money, bigger projects that have come out of the pipeline of this other large project. And then on top of that, all just daily comms and marketing for the organization. So now it's my responsibility to go back and say, you know, as suspected, we now see like two roles happening. And so here's what we can offer. But it'll be my responsibility to not offer the world or be the hero and try to do it all for them, because I'm going to end up burnt out and not compensated just because they probably can't afford to do that. And so I think it's just a harder conversation that leadership should be used to, just to say that you guys might need to bring on a junior person to do your day-to-day, and then we can come in and support the junior person with the bigger campaign pieces. But I think where organizations get into trouble is when they assume one person or a small group can do everything for their organization. And I realize that some organizations have a smaller budget, especially when they're in a certain position. But at the end of the day, it's that capacity building piece that I did for Social Centric, that risk that you have to take for the greater good of yourself later, that will get you further than pinching pennies right now kind of thing. So in order for an organization to run smoothly, I think I'm just seeing all the things that I've been having discussions with already with the team, just, you know, we probably need to capacity build a little bit more here. And the other thing is just trying not to hold it so close to your heart, in the sense that I have another team member, so let's get her involved. That kind of thing. So it's just those harder rescoping conversations that you've got to continuously have with your clients if they are accidentally or purposely going out of scope. You have to remember that you deserve space and energy to do your job. You don't have to be at someone's beck and call 24/7. You don't have to be completely tied to your email 24/7 to get your job done. And if you are doing that, then you need to look at the efficiencies within your own business and answer the question of why. Why do I feel the need to constantly be at the beck and call? Is it because things are disorganized, or is it because they're disorganized and I need to sit down with them and have a conversation?
Yeah, it's an interesting take, because I think we've all dealt with clients who, especially long-term clients and people that you work with consistently over a period of time, who get very comfortable with you as a person and the relationship that you have, and start bringing you into organizational issues and situations that really have nothing to do with you as a consultant. And I've run into that too, where organizations end up sharing more about their organization and more about the inner workings of what's going on, like inside politics or inside or hiring or people that they're trying to deal with, blah, 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 than I should ever know as a consultant. And I'm better at drawing boundaries around that too. And it's like, I'm an external person, and I don't need to know, nor should I ever know what is going on inside your organization in terms of personnel or those kind of issues, because then you're really just sort of opening yourself to the wind. Because it's like, yes, I have standards and morals and all of those sorts of things, and I would never share any of that, but it causes a bit of a difficulty in sort of moving forward with projects and things when you're already sort of involved in the inner workings. And I think a lot of consultants and small business, especially service-based businesses, sometimes we fall into that trap of getting brought in too many of those internal things. And neither us as the consultant nor the organization sort of understand the lines that should be drawn in the sand in terms of what is appropriate and not appropriate to know or be involved in. And because ultimately then it makes those conversations harder. Like Dakota's saying, like having to now have a conversation about scope and boundaries. And if you do have to bring in staffers, those sorts of things, it's like, you already know way too much about the business, and that isn't really good on either side. And so that's just a caveat for businesses too. Like if you're the client and you're working with a consultant, they shouldn't have to know or need to know anything about your business aside from what they need to know to do the project or the work that you've hired them to do.
For sure. And this is where I get in the weeds, is I'm just like too nice sometimes. And I like to support people. So I will have those conversations with them, which is interesting because the other business offering that I'm thinking about launching is very ingrained in that kind of advice. And I'm really passionate about it. I'm really passionate about making things more efficient for businesses. But at the same time, Alyssa's absolutely right. And yeah, so like I do feel a little bit like I don't want to say that I put myself in hot water. I do feel a little bit like I've had some conversations around different options. And now during an exceptionally busy period, it's come to light the option that I think makes the most sense. And now we have to go kind of have that conversation. And so, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But one thing I do know is I can't, you know, I've tried to make concessions for what is needed. And there's been a couple of instances where that's been out of scope, let's say. So, and it's nothing super annoying. It was during the busy period that things needed to get done. So it was whatever. But yeah, moving forward, it's like we have, you know, I'm here that day and we have our meetings, you know, when we have them. And if you need extra, it's like double the hourly cost because that's what you're getting in your contract.
Yeah. It's interesting when you talk about meetings and those sorts of, that sort of time that's required outside of just you working on things. Is I've learned the hard way in that too. And I put that into my contracts now, very specific that this rate or this project rate or this retainer rate that I'm charging you includes XYZ. And that includes like one meeting a week. It includes like this, and this. It includes, and because I found that that on either end, you can take advantage of that. And so it's like, I will always go back to my contract and be like, yes, our contract includes one check-in meeting a week or once every week or whatever is indicated in the contract so that it clarifies those things. And I think it's always how I think about when I tell clients about the importance of investing in a good strategy, a good MarCom strategy. And clients don't always see the value in that of like investing $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 in a strategy, because they just want to get ahead to the tactics. And it's like, that's great and all. But halfway through the year, when your CEO or your VP is coming to you and being like, oh, we should do this. And like, everyone's like got squirrel, like halfway through the year, you then have the basis to go back and be like, well, this is what was outlined in the strategy for this year. This is what we're following through on. This is what we're keeping on track. I could make note of that if that's something we would like to look at for next year, blah, blah. It's like a safety space, right? And so from a business perspective, from our perspective as service providers, we need to have our own safety space to be able to go back and be like, well, as per our contract that included this, this, and this, and we have provided this, this, and this. If you need now these things, then we need to look at that contract and what it requires. And if those things are actually necessary, or are there things that you just like think are shiny and that we should do. So look at it from both perspectives. It's a safety space for the client, and it's a safety space for the consultant to have a proper structure in place that you could always refer back to. Because if you sign a contract with someone in January, sometimes it can go completely off the rails by April, and that's totally fine. But then you both have the recourse to revisit that contract and say, this isn't serving me anymore, and that's not serving you anymore, and we need to either renegotiate the contract or end the contract or move into a different business form. So I think that's just proper on both sides, and that everybody sort of needs that check-in point. Because it's not, no one goes into a contract thinking, I'm going to take advantage of this person, or I'm going to expect them to do more than this, that, and the other. It just happens based on day-to-day work. But I think the day-to-day piece that Dakota was sort of referencing earlier is the piece that we as consultants need to extricate ourselves from, because it doesn't benefit us and it doesn't benefit the client, because we are not employees. We are not tethered to that organization. We have other commitments and other projects and other clients, and therefore we don't get the benefit of being employees. We don't have vacation. We don't have health and dental benefits. Like, we don't get all those things that an employee would. So therefore, we shouldn't be treated as such, because if you wanted an employee, then you can have that discussion, but you don't support me you don't support me as an employee, so I shouldn't be available to you as such. And therefore that helps mitigate some of that incessant day-to-day connection.
Yeah. And we're like, I was fine doing some of the day-to-days. It was like, okay, if we have a plan, if we know when I'm going to be in, if we have some flexibility, that day-to-day piece is a little easier. But it's what's happening is it's the level of work that is required is more than I think we all realized potentially. And so that's where I just want to have continued. It's open communication. It's like any relationship, right? Having that open communication around, okay, so last month we felt this way, but this month we feel this way. So let's talk about it. And that's really the conversation that's going to take place, is like, hey, we just went through this crazy busy period. We got through it. It was great. But here's where my mental health was. And I'm open to talking about that with anybody at any time. And also we are seeing this gap, this gap, this gap for you. And we're worried that is going to put you into a challenging position. So how do we now brainstorm to figure out how to do this? And then I think the other thing is just pointing out that like one person in the organization doing it also won't solve the problem. So like, let's say you guys hire a mid-level comms person, they can't also do all of this. There needs to be budget for both. And that's the conversation that we need to have.
Yeah. And I think it's just a good lesson for organizations, like whether you're a nonprofit, you're corporate, you're whatever, is that it's your responsibility to assess your resourcing internally. And even from a nonprofit perspective, I understand budgets and things, but if you hire a junior or mid-level comms person and think that they're going to be able to take on the work of a senior person, but you can't hire a senior person because you can't afford them or whatever, that's also going to set them up to fail and you up to fail. So, we see this all the time in all sectors, that the companies aren't resourced as they should be. And again, as consultants, that is not our responsibility to fix that for them. All we can do is advise and say, you need more people here. But it is not up. It's also not up to the consultant to fill those gaps in for resourcing issues that are at an organizational level. That's not what we as consultants are there to do. And nor should that be put on any consultant to do that. So I think in this day and age, like, you just see so many layoffs and all that stuff, because again, like, people power is just a line item on a budget, and getting rid of people is the easiest way to show your shareholders that you're trying to cut expenses or whatever. So on that end, never as an employee be loyal to your company because they will turf you as soon as they can. But on the other scale of that, if you're turfing all of your employees for budgetary reasons or whatever, and you're bringing in consultants to try to fill those gaps in, it's not sustainable. None of that is sustainable. So that needs to be dealt with on both sides. And again, we're not HR people. Okay, hire an HR consultant to sort that out for you if you have to. But we as business owners, I mean, we run businesses and we have other responsibilities and other people and other clients that we have to manage. And therefore, once the time of dealing with one client takes away from dealing with others, then that's also problematic for various reasons, obviously. But as Dakota sort of said at the beginning of this, no one's a hero in this situation. And being a hero to your clients and pulling things off in the end to help them, obviously, is warranted. I mean, if things sort of go like are required, but at the same time, nothing comes of that. Like, I mean, you're a hero to yourself, I guess, which is cool, but ultimately that organization is going to continue to move on a course to which now that you've sort of laid yourself down and been heroic in that very busy moment, that's going to become the expectation because, oh, well, we did it before.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's harder to back yourself out of that.
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, I just think having those open-ended conversations and being brave and willing to discuss change when it needs to happen is important.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking about this before we started recording, but I was going to ask Dakota this question because I think I know my answer to this, but I don't know that I do know my answer to this, but in the midst of this time, so through this period, you're a digital agency, you do social and digital and video and all that kind of stuff. But through this heroic time, you have sort of delved more into that traditional comms end and like PR space and sort of doing day-to-day sort of comms things that would normally sort of fall out of the traditional scope of what you do. So then my question is, does the work that's happened in the last quarter or whatever, 4 or 5 months, does that solidify your belief that you want to stay in the digital space, or has it sort of morphed and you want social centric to live more in that traditional comm space? And then changing sort of the model of your business.
So I want to do both. And it's not to do with, it has nothing to do with like what's better for the business. It has everything to do with what brings me joy. I love working with the media. Honestly, I'm probably one of the last ones. I really enjoy being able to use even influencers and like modern media, let's call it modern media outlets, to tell a brand story or get an important message out. And I'm very selective and picky with who I pitch to the media. And I think that's part and parcel why we have success with it, because my relationships with media, they know that I'm only going to pitch something that makes sense to them, which is best practice in media relations. But I also won't pitch for everybody. Like a client might come to me and say, I want to get a media story out of this. And I will very bravely tell them no if it doesn't make sense. But I think digital and media relations have a place together always. And it is probably the single most expansive way to get your message out and have everything kind of rolling at once. I think taking what's called an omni approach to, and actually that's not even mine. I learned it recently from one of my clients, which was really cool. But taking an omni approach to your communications and marketing is really important in that if at times it makes sense to use every channel to your advantage, potentially you should. And it will just get your message out further depending on what your objective is. So I would like to start offering media relations as a service in addition to what we're doing with digital and social. And I'm going to call out another firm who does this, who really, they really inspire me. And I look up to them a lot. And that is Pedestrian PR. So Christy and her partner, they run a really fantastic PR company called Pedestrian PR, and they specialize in event and live social media, as well as media relations. And I think they've really figured it out in that they get the best possible coverage for their clients paid and earned by doing all of the different facets of digital and media relations. And then they also have the subcontractors similar to us that can build out the other pieces like web development and so on and so forth. So I'd like to continue operating exactly how I am, but I'd like to make it more prominent on our website and in our own marketing that we do do media relations. And I would like to endeavor to build my relationship with media first within Canada and then eventually potentially internationally, depending on where we take things. But I know that when I offer all of those pieces, the campaigns are stronger, the bottom line is stronger, and social media honestly is getting tougher. And I know that the argument is there for media relations as well, but I think if you have the contacts that you work with and you're strategic about it, doing ads, organic content, and media relations is really the best bang for your buck in many ways. So I think we're just kind of adding on, we're expanding into another service area, but I don't think we're going to change much. We're just going to expand into that piece as well. Mm-hmm. But I think it needs to be resourced properly, and I think it needs to be outlined properly from an expense standpoint. It shouldn't just be coupled into a retainer. I think that it almost needs to be separate from social.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all look. It's funny because when I looked at what was going on, what has been going on with you in this last little while, it's solidified my belief that I do not want to be involved in day-to-day operations of any organization anymore. I've been there, done that. And so it sort of solidified my space that I want to live in a traditional core com space. I like writing reports and key messages and all those sorts of things, but I don't want to deal with like your campaigns and things like that. It's too labor intensive. So yeah, I sort of looked at it from the other way, and it's like, it's sort of just like niche. It just sort of allowed me to niche down a little bit. And it's like, yeah, I don't, and maybe it's cause yeah, maybe cause it's, I've done it for a long time, and yeah, it seems, but it's too, I mean, I like media too, in the way that, I mean, I still know people from like the good times of media. But I'm not an influencer person. I'm very open about that. There's people that do that way better than me. I have no interest in working with influencers. Again, there's people that do that way better than me. I'm not interested in that buy form of marketing. And I'll only do things if you pay me or if you send me free shit. I'm not interested in any of that. So, but again, it's not that it's bad. It's just that that doesn't interest me on any level. And so I think that's why what we're talking about is interesting, because people do those things well. And I think that's why people who have their areas that they're good at are what I like to hold up, because me doing that is a waste of everyone's time and money. When I can tell a client that they need to work with this person or this agency because they do that great. And so I reap the benefit of that because I get the percentage off that work, but I don't have to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's why I'm just like, as I get longer in this and almost 10 years into this, it's like, I like to find my space. Because I've sort of been there already with making it bigger. And I'll explain my sort of what's come up in my world in the last little while and what's sort of getting me is that a friend of mine has gone out on their own and brought me and another person who, anyway, they don't work in the comms space, but they've brought me on as a comms person that they can put on their website to help with projects and stuff. But it's not a comms, it's not a comms consultant. But I've sort of been thrown into this, and again, it's difficult because we're friends, just sort of have to put my boundaries. And it's like, they keep throwing me meetings and then they want me to be set up on their Microsoft system and Outlook and all that. I'm like, again, I'm not your employee. Like, you're using me as a promotional tool for your business, which is cool. I'm fine with, and being able to utilize my brand for your business, but I'm not an employee. So it's that, and that's, those are difficult conversations to have when it's friend to friend. And they've sort of brought you on as a, to help their business. But again, it's like, I'm not falling into this trap of, because I've had clients start to do this too. It's like, oh, you need to be set up on our SharePoint. And I'm like, no, I friggin' don't. And it's like, I don't want any access to your stuff because, again, I'm not an employee. So,
well,
I've sort of, it's become a pet peeve of mine just sort of recently. And it's like, so he'll send me read meeting requests. And it's like, oh, we're having a team meeting on Tuesday. I'm like, I'm not available Tuesday. Like, you can't just send. So it's funny how we've sort of fallen into this on two different lenses, in the fact of like, you've done it through your business and I've sort of done it through a friendship, but we're both sort of in the same boat of having to be like, wait a minute, I'm not getting involved in any of this. And yeah, I love to be a part and help out your projects when it's required, but we don't need a weekly team meeting when there's no projects currently on the docket.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not here to build your business. You got to sort that out on your own, especially because I don't know what you do.
Yeah. Well, that too, right?
I find that. And that sort of just like led me to this whole, like being like, I just need to make my offering smaller, as opposed to bigger, because I think when I've offered everything, then I end up doing more because everything sort of leads into the other thing, right? So if you do this, then you sort of have to complete that. Whereas it's like, no, I'll just stick to my nice little front end, back end projects.
Yeah. I think I certainly don't want us to get into the day to day at all.
It's exhausting.
What I want to do, I'm fine with doing busy campaigns when I know that they're happening and planning things around that. But moving forward, I would say, yeah, I don't think we're interested in coming in and doing the day to day. I think at one point we wanted to kind of try that and see what it felt like a little bit, because a lot of organizations don't have the resources to hire a full-time person, but I think it either needs to come at a pretty big price tag and be resourced appropriately, or it can't really happen. So,
yeah. And I mean, if I would think differently about this, if I was like making 5-figure retainers on a regular basis, like in oil and gas or something. Like, I know communications consultants have made bank taking on contracts with oil and gas companies where they have to come in like 1 or 2 days a week, which to me is a red flag because then you're an employee, but whatever. But yeah, I'm like, if you're going to pay me 20, 25, 30 grand a month to come in, like to work with you, yeah, I'll do whatever you need. Right. But I'm not doing that for 5 grand a month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can call me like whatever you want about that. But again, we run businesses. I have expenses of my own. No one does this out of the goodness of their heart. Like, yes, we choose to work with cultural organizations and like Dakota and I don't work in the oil and gas or the energy space, but not to say that people who do is great, but at the same time, so we choose that, but therefore I will do what is the basis worth of that dollar value every month. But yeah, if you want to pay me 20 grand retainer every month, I'll show up to your meetings every day if you want me to.
Totally. But yeah, if you guys have a story that you want to share about this, we would love to hear it.
Dakota's emailing someone, so I will finish this off by saying, I think everyone's been in this. I'm sure things we've said today have resonated with many of you, even from an employee level. I think there's a lot of employees that are doing way above and beyond than that their salary dictates that they should be doing. And I think there's some conversations that you should be having with your bosses in an employee situation. But I know, having spoken to a lot of small business people in the service providing sector, we have all fallen into this. So I'm sure there's some things that resonated with you today. So if you have any tips that you've used or things that have worked for you in terms of boundaries or setting up clear or even doing up your contracts so that they're clear in terms of deliverables and negotiating bigger retainers for the work that's being done, feel free to share those, because I think we are all in this together and we all can learn from one another. And if anyone needs support, like, feel free to reach out to Dakota and I. We are always here to answer questions or provide direction and mentorship for people, especially if you're just starting a consultancy and want some assistance. We are always here. But yeah, reach out at DM us on Instagram at Ladies Who Launch Pod, or send us an email at ladieswholaunchpod@gmail.com. And we will see you, hear you, be with you on the next episode of Ladies Who Launch.
Have a good day, guys.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Who Launch. Join Dakota and Alyssa every second Wednesday for more conversations and interesting guests. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. If you send us a question, we may answer it on a future episode.